Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
3-1 to Ryan Howard. Well hit to the opposite field. Out of here. 3-run home run, Ryan Howard. Number 58 for the big man. Move over, double X. Ryan has joined you. 58 home runs, and the Phillies lead it 4-0.
The most in Philadelphia baseball history.
Oh, goosebumps, Jody McDonald, goosebumps. That is 2006, Ryan Howard having one of the great seasons anybody ever had in a Phillies uniform, his 58th home run of the season, franchise record. Things were looking great, and per one of our friends, I'll get to this in a second, one of the great calls in Phillies history. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Jody, you and I knew our next guest when he was just kind of a slob of a producer for us, right? Way back in the day.
Has that much changed over the years? We know it was 16 years ago that Ryan Howard hit that home run. It was 16 years ago that, yes, he was working with us on a day-in, day-out basis. Yeah, not that much has changed.
Well, he's now got the Snow the Goalie podcast, the Press Row show. He's actor, director, star by night. Anthony Sanfilippo is our guest. How you doing, pal?
Well, you know, I was sitting here, guys, right before the break, sympathizing with your previous caller, because when I was your remote producer, I used to get that hairy eyeball from Glenn pretty much every 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I can do it. I definitely can express anger without saying a word. It's why you've trained me to be a thespian, Anthony, and I appreciate it.
There you go. There you go.
All right, so you are doing a terrific project for what website?
For crossingbroad.com.
There you go. There you go, where you are doing the 50 greatest calls in Phillies history. Before we get to some of them, it turns out Jody's got a little bit of a problem with this.
Uh-oh. Yeah, here we go.
I said this earlier, that it's very entertaining. And, yeah, I can't wait for the next group to come out. You've released it in groups, and you're teasing everybody. It's very well done. But I just can't believe it's you. That it's as good as it is, and you are the deciding factor for this. To put them in the order that it is, that's my only question. How have you done such a good job?
Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate the confidence.
That's kind of a double-edged sword of a question.
The point of it is that it actually started from just I was having a conversation with both of my sons a few weeks back, just kind of like, you know, talking about great Phillies calls. And so I started thinking about it. So I'm going to make a list. And I was originally just going to make a list of the top 10. And when I sat down about it, an hour later, I had a list just from memory of 34. And then I thought, man, if I could come up with that many off the top of my head, maybe this would be a good little series for the website. And then, of course, Sunday came, and last Sunday when they beat the Angels. And those two calls were fantastic, both on TV and radio. And I reached out to Kevin Kincaid, our editor at the site, and I said, hey, Kev, I mean, I have this list. What do you think? And he said, absolutely, let's go. It's really timely. And so it just worked. I did a little bit more research to get it up to 50. And then I just decided to rank them based on the calls themselves, not so much the moments, but just basically the wording that was used, the emotion of the moment for the broadcasters. And then, of course, as we get down to the top 20 here, I think you guys will agree that when you remember a call and you remember the actual line that was used and it is referred to by that line even to this day,
yeah,
I think that's what makes it great, because you remember that. Right. So that's where we're going to get into in the top 20.
All right. Well, so you doing them, as Jody said, in groups of 10. You started, yep. I guess, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll pick up Monday. I want to play one of them. This is the end of Roy Halladay's perfect game against the Marlins. Vince, fire it up.
Back up onto the mound. Hi. Tucks the baseball in his right hand. Now into the glove. Holds it in front of the letters. Nods yes. The wind. The 1-2 pitch. Swinging a ground ball left side. Castro's got it. Spins. Throws. Yeah. He got him. A perfect game for Roy Halladay. 27 up and 27 down. Halladay is mobbed at the mound as the Phillies celebrate perfection tonight in Miami.
All right. Amazing job by Scott Fransky. You hear a little L.A. percussion in there. I think you and I were in the same place when that game was pitched.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, Jody, is that we were in Chicago the same night, and I did not see one pitch of it when it happened, nor did you, because we were at Game 1 of the 2010 Stanley Cup Final yep. between the Flyers and the Blackhawks. And the story that I tell in there was really kind of an interesting one is, I was working for the Daily Times, Delaware County at that time, and I was sitting next to my sports editor, Rob Perrin, who was there covering the finals as well. And I pointed it out to him in like the fourth or fifth inning, and he was like, ah, it's still too early to worry about it. By the seventh inning, it was like, okay, what do we put on the back page tomorrow? Do we put Halladay's perfect game, or do we put game one of the Stanley Cup final? And, you know, we had decided, I guess, you know, if it happened, and then the Flyers won, it would be a split back. But if the Flyers lost, perfect game happened, it was going to be all Doc, and it was the right call. It was absolutely the right call because, what, there's only been 21 or 22 in the history of the game. That was number 20. It was only the second one in the history of the Phillies. And look, I don't want to take anything away from Tom McCarthy's call. McCarthy got a great call as well. The thing that I love about Fransky's call there, Glenn and Jody, is that you know it's a big moment when Scott starts describing, like, second by second, and he's talking about how he's holding the ball, and he's holding it in his glove in front of him, and when Doc threw the no-hitter, he identified the time of day and,
yes.
you know, where they were at. I mean, things like that are what makes you remember the call. That's why it was such an iconic call.
He's setting up the historical moment. He's smart enough yeah. to do that. Yeah.
All right, Anthony, yeah. let me go a little inside baseball on you.
Yeah.
Because you did, as I said, shockingly so to me, you've done a phenomenal job with this. And you're going back and forth between radio and television calls. They're two distinctly different calls. Your job as a radio broadcaster is different than it is of yep. a play-by-play guy doing television because you've got pictures to tell some of the story. And if you're just continually talking over it, you might be judged as a guy who talks too much, whereas on the radio, you need to put every single aspect of the call in its proper perspective. How did you balance that in your own mind, comparing a radio call to a television call of the same moment?
Yeah, and you're 100% correct, because in you have to paint a little bit different of a picture. You have to use different colors, I would say, if you're trying to make a give it an image. You have to use different colors on the radio than you do on television, right? Because you have the assistance of the audience being able to see what's happening when you're on TV. Although there are times on television where you're seeing something because it's not quite on camera yet. So in the moment, you might be describing something that the audience hasn't seen yet. So there is that delicate balance as well. But you're right. Overall, the radio call is a little bit – you have to be a little bit more give a little bit more to it because they can't see it at all and won't until they get in front of a TV or in front of their computer later. Whereas on television, yeah, there's a real chance that they're watching right there with you. But I think the excitement build on television, which is what made Harry so great as a broadcaster, is he was so good at anticipating – what was going to happen. I think I pointed it out in one of the Inside the Park home runs by Bobby Abreu on the list that it's a fly ball to center. As soon as that kicks off the center fielder's glove, Harry knows at that moment this could end the ball game. And so you could feel the building of it to the climax. And then, of course, there's a play at the plate and he goes crazy. So it's just identifying and understanding the moment and where it fits in the game. And it takes a special gene, I think, for broadcasting. And we've had some great ones here in Philadelphia.
We have. Let me play one more that you put in there. It's a Harry moment. And it's the Aaron Rowan face yeah. against the outfield wall catch. Kyle, fire that one up.
Driven to deep center field. Rowan back. Are you kidding me?
Oh, what a catch.
What a great, great, perhaps game-saving catch by Aaron Rowan. Incredible play by Rowan.
Well, first of all, I like that the band is playing music as they do this. But, I mean, you're so right. It's kind of what Jody said and what you picked up, which is with Harry and with Fransky, you hear their voices pick up when it's about to be a great moment, and it just pulls you in as a viewer or a listener. And that to me, I mean, I think most people remember the play. It's when Aaron Rowan caught the ball, slammed into the outfield fence, held the ball, did the whole for who, for what, for the fans, for my teammates, and made him a hero forever.
Yeah, what I love the most about that call, Glenn, is you know that's kind of towards the end of Harry hadn't lost his fastball, but it was no longer 97. It was probably like 94 at that point, right? Towards the end of his career, and so the way that the play unfolds, I don't think he was 100% sure at the moment that Rowan caught it that he held onto the ball, and I think Larry Anderson really helps in this case by saying, "Oh, what a great catch." Because yep. It allows Harry to give that extra second to think about how he's going to now describe the fact that Rowan made the catch. And so that's great work as a team there. And I think that's what makes the call so good, is Harry has it built. L.A. helps him, but doesn't go too far, and Harry then takes it the rest of the way. I think that's what makes the call so special.
And, Anthony, over the entire 50-call list, and we've still got a couple more to wait to be able to compare it to, a bunch of different color analysts on both the radio and the TV side, so you get to comp them in a little bit. How much did you lean on what that – you're right. In that call we just played, it was short, it was sweet, it was so to the point, it was perfect with L.A. How much did the color analysts' contribution factor into the way you put the list together?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of times, Joe, if I was debating between two or three calls – and there was a color analyst contribution to it, I favored that call over another because of the color analyst adding something to it that's really unique and really special. I think that the Gary Matthews home run in the 1983 World Series, for example, Whitey Ashburn says he just stood there and looked at it. And it's interesting because nowadays when somebody hits a home run, they all stand there and look at it, right? Back in 1983, that wasn't a thing, right? That was not a thing to kind of admire your home run. And so him pointing that out, and again, that's a radio call because that was the NLCS, so that was national television. So that's a radio call. So for him to point that out is really kind of like, oh, wow, how about that, that he looked at it and added something that you couldn't see. So I think in those cases where it was close between two or three, if the color analyst gave me something, I went with them. I put that a little bit higher.
Anthony Sanfilippo, I guess you can follow him on Twitter at AntSanPhilly. You can read this on Crossing Broad. Right, a couple of quick things. It's mostly Harry and Fransky, Whitey, L.A. I'm trying to think who. Some Tom McCarthy on TV. But a couple other broadcasters kind of snuck their way in from Philadelphia and from elsewhere, correct?
Yeah, I mean, so far on the list, I mean, I think you got a Chris Berman, which I thought was a great call because it was back before he was mainstream. It was back when ESPN was
cliche.
Still kind of in its, yeah, it was kind of its earlier days. One call in there, I can promise you that there's a couple more. We had the one that's going to be on part of your show tomorrow, as a matter of fact, the Jim Rooker call. Which wasn't even a great call, but it was the whole if they blow this game, I'll walk home. And then the Phillies come back from a 10-0 deficit, and you know he had to walk back from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we do. We celebrate that one tomorrow.
There are calls, and I will say I think I had the first one yesterday, but there are a few calls on this list that maybe weren't in favor of the Phillies, but occurred in a Phillies game.
Can I do the line?
Right
all
ahead.
The runs are unearned, but so what?
Yeah.
Every Phillies fan remembers that.
We had 2006, home run off of Billy
2006?
Wagner.
What year was that?
2005, I believe, was that was. Yeah.
Oh,
and
it was
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So. Anthony,
hold on. Before you go, Jody.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Kyle.
I just had to put it in.
That is outstanding. All right, Anthony, very much looking to the forward to the end of the list. We got to get a flyer question or two in with you.
Sure.
Which one is going to happen first? Rob Thompson will lose a game that he manages, or the Flyers will name their next head coach?
If I had to put a bet on that, Jimmy, I would say Rob Thompson will lose a game before the Flyers pick the coach. And the only reason I'm going to say that is, there's only a couple days here left before the start of the Stanley Cup final next week. And the NHL kind of has a unwritten rule that, you don't break any news for your own team to distract from the Stanley Cup final. So I think the teams would have to wait to announce all the coaching hirings until after the Stanley Cup was over. So that's why I would suggest that that's going to go on a little bit longer than Rob Thompson's streak is here for the Phillies. But it is possible. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think that there's one big domino that needs to fall, and that's Barry Trotz deciding where he wants to coach. And it could be here. I don't think the Flyers are the favorite, but I think that they're still in the mix for him. And once he makes that call, makes that decision, I think that's when we'll see all the teams in the NHL, because there's five or six openings right now. I think that it'll be one right after another, after another, after another at that point.
All right, so if I had to bet on one guy for the Flyers at this point, the candidates are Trotz, as you said, John Tortorella, Jody's favorite guy. Jody has a great Tortorella story. We'll tell that later. Local favorite, Jim Tockett. Bruce Cassidy, right? The Bruins coach got fired. Anybody else I'm leaving out?
Well, they've interviewed a few. I mean, I would say that first and foremost, I'll say this just so I know it's going to upset a lot of local fans, but Rick Tockett will not be the next head coach. Okay. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. But I think that if Barry Trotz says no, I would lean hardly toward Tortorella. From what I've been able to glean from a number of people, there's just a lot of people in the organization who like him, who want him here. I'm not sure Chuck Fletcher, who's the general manager, thinks he's the next best choice, but there's so many other people who like him, and the most important thing is, guys, he wants this job more than any other. Like the other coaches that they're interviewing elsewhere, and they're saying, well, Flyers might be number two or number three on the list. No, for Tortorella, the Flyers are number one. And so I think that's a good matchup, and I think that that's probably where they would go next if Trotz says no.
As a member of the Philadelphia media, how do you feel about that?
For us, it would be fantastic.
Okay.
It would be like bringing Ken Hitchcock back.
Okay.
It would be that good.
You get last question, Jody.
Yeah, last thing. You said Tockett not happening because the Flyers have determined he's not their guy, or Rick Tockett has determined the Flyers aren't his most favorable landing spot.
I think Tockett would be interested. I think in all honesty, when they interviewed him, I think it was more of a courtesy interview than anything else. I don't think that they had him rated very high on their list for a head coaching position. Could I see them potentially saying to Tockett, if he doesn't get a head coaching job somewhere, would you be interested in being an assistant coach? I think that's a potential thing. But if you're Rick Tockett, do you give up the great gig you got on TNT right now with that studio show, which is doing really, really well for hockey, to just be an assistant coach for a rebuilding franchise? I don't necessarily know if I do. I think Tockett would rather stick with TV in that case.
All right, Anthony Sanfilippo, you have the 20 best calls yet to go. Jody doesn't have that much faith in your own ability to do it, but I think we agree. So far, it's been good.
I'm like a proud papa who didn't think his son was as good as he is.
Okay, well, there you go. And I'm expecting... I know you don't want to give it away, but I'm expecting both Jimmy Rollins and Matt Stairs are going to make my top five. Is that a fair guess?
I will say this: you don't have to hold your breath on Monday to see those. They'll both be in Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, there you go. That works.
Oh, by the way, I'd bet more on Chase Utley, but that's just me.
World bleeping champions. No, probably not that.
No, I know.
Hey, Anthony, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Hey, guys, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Anthony.
really good series that he's done on that thing. Really fun to watch.
And as I'm pimping Anthony, he goes out the door. That had to take. He mentioned that he had like 34 off the top of his head.
He said he put it together in a day.
God bless. For me, that would be like 3 weeks of research and work to get through.
And crowdsourcing.
Man, holy mackerel.
Yeah, this is where I would use Twitter. Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Please, I've written books that way. All right. Jim in Phoenix will hang in. We'll get you coming up on the other side. And anybody else wants to call 215-592-9494. We'll get Jody's reaction to Tortorella being the lead candidate. I know how fond you are of him. And we look forward to talking to everybody. With Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Mack now. Are you tired of dealing with old drafty windows and doors in your house? Maybe it's time you finally go Geiger. The great people at Geiger Door and Window will help make your window and door replacement project more affordable with their buy one, get one half off sale. For every door window you buy, you get a second one at 50% off, and you can mix and match the savings to suit your own needs. Buy an entry door, get half off a storm door. Buy a patio door, get 50% off a window. If you need to replace all the windows and doors in your house, you can save 50% on half your project. The more you need, the more you save. Plus, Geida is making it easier for you to afford your project with no money down and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Act now. Offers limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Geida today. Schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GEIDA. Or visit them at GoGuida.com. That's Go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, I would say bring on training camp because minicamp was, anyway, the sour sponsor.
You blinked
sponsor.
And you missed it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, which Fletcher Cox certainly did. Does he? So, well, hold on. Let me say first do this. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Does it bother you that Fletcher Cox showed up for only the last day?
And, oh, by the way, said, I stuck my head in. Which means he didn't get a whole lot of activity in, but sat down for the media. And, oh, by the way, I did appreciate that because the offseason for Fletcher was kind of weird, and I have to have some trust and faith in Howie Roseman and the fact that he plays the cap game as well as maybe any other general manager in football. They release him, they take the big cap hit, but then they re-sign him for $14 million, which is a pretty big number for a guy whose production has been coming back to the pack the last couple of years. So I wanted to hear what Fletcher had to say. I didn't really put much light on it, but at least I wanted to hear it from him rather than anybody else. I was glad that he came in, stopped by, showed his face. But much like many of the other Eagles, didn't get a whole hell of a lot of football work done.
No, he did not. Let's get to Jim in Phoenixville. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
I'm a first-time caller. I love listening to you guys. I've listened to you from way, way back in the day. And I just want to say you guys are great on the radio together.
Thank you.
A pleasure to hear the two of you together.
Hold on. Thank you. Hold on one sec. Jody, do you get this a lot when people say, like, oh, gosh, I used to listen to you and Glenn when you were like when I was in fourth grade. Grew up with you guys.
And for some reason, and I think I know why, but more so than anything, the Berlin McDonald's. I came to the Berlin McDonald's to see you guys back in the 90s.
Yeah, we kept that place open for a while.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, sorry, Jim, go ahead.
That's all right. I was a lot older than fourth grade when I was listening to you guys, but I get it. Anyway, you guys were talking a little while ago about the sort of glut of middle infielders the Phillies are going to have when everybody's healthy. And I just wanted to say about that, I think, you know, unfortunately, I'd have to say that Didi is going to be the guy that ends up being the odd man out eventually, you know, for the Phillies. I think long-term, they just can't depend on him to stay healthy. And they're better off going with the other guy.
Do you know his contract?
This is his last year.
This is it, right? Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I had a story I wanted to relate to you, Glenn, about Ray Didinger. I saved it to call in for an appropriate time, and I thought his retirement, after his retirement, would be a good time because I met Ray once at a book signing and told him he had to tell this story, and he didn't want to. I honored that until he retired, and now I thought maybe it's a good time.
Okay.
It's actually a story that's told by Gene Collier, so you guys know Gene, the columnist from the Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Writer.
He tells a story about way, way back in the day when he and Ray were both beat writers covering the NFL. They were at the NFL draft one year, and all the reporters were just hanging out before the draft, bored out of their skull back then because it wasn't as big a deal as it is today, trying to kill time. And someone came up with the idea that to have a mock draft. And the rules of the mock draft were that you could draft anyone from human history.
Oh, that's fun.
So they drew straws to see who, you know, the order of the draft, you know, what the order would be.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Didinger gets the first pick in the mock draft where he can draft anyone who ever lived.
Ooh. So hold on. You go Einstein, you go Jesus, you go... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So Ray Didinger gets up, you know, at the lectern they had with the microphone, and he gets up there and he says, the Philadelphia Eagles, with the first pick of the NFL draft, select from the University of Pennsylvania, offensive lineman Ben Franklin.
Actually, it's a good pick. I love that pick.
And and they said, Ray, you can draft anyone who ever lived, and you pick Ben Franklin. Why? And he said, well, you know, if you're building a team, you got to start, you know, with great line play. You need a good offensive line. I thought, he's a big guy, moves well. You could build a country around this guy.
You could. Jim, I got to run, but I love that. And by the way, I saw a thing on Ben Franklin recently, Jody. He may be the smartest person in human history. He invented everything. He invented glasses. He invented electricity. He invented statesmanship. I don't argue it.
And he used to hang in places that you and I probably hang now, but I think they probably changed since Ben hung there.
Brewed his own beer.
That's one thing that Glenn Macnow is following in his footsteps
at. Exactly right. Got to respect that. All right, Jody, I need Jody McDonald, music critic, here for a moment, if I may.
Fair enough.
You and I used to argue music back in the day. We had some different choices, and that's cool. I don't know
but
how
I
feel.
I never saw the Monkees, Jimi Hendrix, open up for the Monkees. So you do have that over me. I got to give you props for that one.
That is a true story. I saw when I was a kid, it was my older sister's birthday. And so the birthday party was we went to a Monkees concert. It was pretty cool of my parents when you think about that, right?
Yes.
It was Miami Beach, of all places. We were down there visiting my grandparents. I think it was June. I don't remember. It was around this time of year. I went to the concert, and I'm 10, 11, I don't know, the opening act is some guy named Hendrix. And he's playing these songs with the guitar with his teeth and lighting the guitar on fire, and he's way above this audience of teeny boppers that you could imagine would see the Monkees.
That's funny.
It's like, I didn't appreciate it at the moment, but I went on to appreciate it a little more. Anyway. And I got to meet Mickey Dolenz a couple of years ago at Citizens Bank Park, and I mentioned the story to him, and he said that the Monkees and Jimi Hendrix really struck a great friendship during that tour and really liked each other and respected each other. He said, but our audience didn't understand Hendrix at all, so he left after about a half a dozen concerts. But that's not what I want to go. I want to go Coldplay. Are you a fan of Coldplay?
I like Coldplay stuff, sure.
Okay. Clocks or
Living La Vida Loca?
Yeah. Viva La Vida. I don't know.
Viva La Vida.
There you go. This story has gotten around. They were in town the other night, and Lincoln Financial Field, you know, they get a crowd. And Chris Martin, I guess he's their lead songer, decided, let's connect with the local audience And here's what they performed.
Five Eagles, five. Score a touchdown. One, two, three. Hit 'em low. Hit 'em high. Watch our Eagles fly.
That's
so fly.
I have mixed feelings, but I'll let you go first on this, if you would.
I give them an A for thought process because, and Glenn, you and I have both been in town a long time now, 30-plus now years for me, more than that for you because you got here before I did. And one thing that has not changed from the day that I moved to Philly in 1990 to today, sucking up to the hometown crowd always scores points.
True.
Whether you are an athlete or a manager or a executive or
a talk show host, sure.
Talk show host or a visiting musical act, sucking up to the home crowd, the hometown crowd works here in Philadelphia. But you got to be good at it. And that just wasn't very good. Execution, they get like a D.
Yeah.
Attitude A, execution D.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same place, which is, I admire it. When a band comes in, you can often see certain things. Like somebody will give them a Flyers jersey, and so the guy will wear, hey, I saw Mick Jagger perform in town in a Kelly Green Eagles jersey, right? And everybody nice. Loved that, right? You love that. Or you just get the obligatory, hello, Philly! Ah! Actually, once saw a guy say the wrong city, which was pretty funny. Oh, yeah. How you doing, Cleveland? It's like, yeah, you're a couple hundred miles away. That was last night.
You know where they played the night before.
Right. That's it. And I understand because they're going different city every night, but get it right. So they went beyond that and tried to learn the song, and at least they got the lyrics. So I don't want to kill them too much, but if you're going to do it, it's a fight song. It's upbeat. It's not a slow ballad dirge.
Yeah, no.
Okay. They take the energy out of the room.
Yeah, they had no idea. That's someone suggesting it to them, telling them what the words are. Can we get 20 minutes of practice in on this and let's do it the way Coldplay would do it? No, 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 no. This is the Eagles fight song. You have to do it the way Eagle fans do it, not the way Coldplay would do it if you're going to do it here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm with you. You give them points for the what's the word I want to use on this? I don't know. Trying, but really bad on the execution. So,
yeah,
okay.
Not good.
By the way, so the last caller mentioned Ray. Ray has a book signing today that I'm happy to plug for him at the Barnes & Noble in Broomall, actually from 1 to 3. I guarantee you Ray is already there, already signing books. And the thing about when you do a book signing with Ray, Jody, you've seen his handwriting, correct?
Are you talking signature or are you talking...
Yeah, any of his handwriting, but signature.
The yellow notebook pad.
12 years of Catholic school, perfect penmanship, right? And his signature is this work of art, but it takes about 5 minutes for him to sign it. So we've done book signings together, and the line is always held up where Ray has to he spends 3 minutes dotting the I. But go out to Lawrence Park Shopping Center. Find him at the Barnes & Noble. He will sign your book. All right, coming up.
So I took a shot at Anthony Sanfilippo. You took a shot at Ray Dinger. I want that on the record.
Yeah.
We each took a shot at somebody today. I got Sanfilippo. You got Dinger.
Yeah, I poked at God, so I'm in more trouble than you. That's for sure. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we'll preview tomorrow's show and find out what we forgot to talk about today. We'll sneak in a caller, too. At 215-592-9494. He is Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP. And it's time for me to talk to you about United Tires. Except I cannot find the read, but I will. Hold on a second. And from here we go. Thank you. Before you head out on that summer road trip, I got to put this in a better place. Before you head out on that summer road trip, head in to United Tire. to get those tires checked and save big all summer long with great deals on BF Goodrich and Michelin. It's the perfect time to save on safety and to get your vehicle ready for fun summer adventures with the family. Start your summer off right and make sure those tires are ready for drives down the shore. Before those summer road trips are in your rearview mirror, get to United Tire. Remember, don't drive alone, drive United. Joni McDonald, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. This hour is brought to you by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Let me just give people a little preview of tomorrow, which will be fun. Joni Mack, one of our guests tomorrow is Steve Cheltz. And I don't know about you. I have been having people clamoring to me to get Steve Cheltz on this radio station for years.
Really?
Yeah. So Ray and I did the Tell Us Your Story feature for a while where we would have Philadelphia sports legends
for a
come
while.
On.
You guys did it for years. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah. Well, we did 110 of them. And yeah, each one was an hour long interview and they were a lot of fun. And always when I would say, like, all right, this week we have, you know, Billy Cunningham. This week we have, you know, whomever. It's like, when are you going to get Steve Cheltz? And I always thought, like, oh, they're just kind of pulling my leg. But there was always, like, an active Steve Cheltz fan club. He was not the greatest player in the history of the franchise, as you remember. But this week marked an anniversary that we're going to honor tomorrow in our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, which was a game against the Pirates. Anthony Sanfilippo referenced it earlier. Phillies are down 10-0 in the first inning at home at the Vet. Jim Rooker, who's the Pirates broadcaster, the color guy, says to the play-by-play guy, hey, if we lose this game, I'm walking home. And I have it. We'll play it tomorrow. Phillies come back and win 15-11. Steve Cheltz, who didn't start the game, and again, we'll talk to him about this tomorrow, Jody, hits home run left-handed and right-handed.
Right.
And Von Hayes, I think, hits a few, and it ends up being this incredible game. And Jim Rooker, true to his word, he didn't walk home from that game, but he sets up a thing, I guess, when the season ended for charity, where he walked from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. So.
Right.
I checked in with Steve Cheltz the other day. He's very eager to come on and tell his story, and we'll have him on as a guest. And I think what we'll do, Jody, because we have a prize to give away tomorrow, we'll celebrate, and I certainly don't want to criticize Steve Cheltz. Who was your favorite Philadelphia player, I'll put it this way, who was far from being a star?
Can I give you a quick story?
Yeah.
I was doing a collector's memorabilia show here in Philadelphia. Shoot, it's got to be more than 10 years ago now. And I'm talking to the individual who's running it. Thanks for coming out. We broadcast live from there, blah, blah, blah. And he mentions to me that the most requested individual to get for this year in and year out is Tahito Iguchi. And I go, excuse me?
Yeah, I know him.
And he goes, no, Tahito Iguchi is the one that I get the most correspondence on. Can you get him to come? Can you please bring him here? We want to see And I'm going, what the heck are you talking about? He said, Jody, when they won the championship in 2008, mm-hmm. a lot of the guys came back with the team the next year. We're still in baseball, whatever. People want an autographed baseball that includes all the members of the Phillies championship team.
Yeah.
And Tahito Iguchi went back to Japan after that season, so people have a ball that has every single player on it except Tahito Iguchi.
Oh, that's
so
great. That's
I
great.
Just thought it made 100% sense after he told
sure.
me the story and explained it to me. I had not thought along those lines. Yeah, we're going to have to ask Steve Cheltz if he knows why he's got this fan club here
yeah.
in Philadelphia.
Anyway, so that'll be fun tomorrow. Let's find out from our producer, Kyle Quinn, what did we forget to talk about today?
All right, fellas. So I'm glad I got you both here today because I want to get your thoughts on this. We haven't really had much of a chance to talk about the NBA Finals, guys. So Steph Curry, 43 points last night, evens the Warriors with the Boston Celtics. It's now 2-2. Heading back to the Bay Area, really I just want to know if you guys think Boston's going to get number 18 or if you think this Warriors dynasty is going to roll on.
It has been very back and forth, and some of the games not competitive at all, but an interesting series that doesn't really seem to have a flow to it. It's just every game is different. Jody, I'll let you pick the winner.
Much to the chagrin of Philadelphia fans, only we talked about this last week, the rivalry isn't what it used to be. I think it's going to be the Celtics because, as we've noted, there has not been a team win two games in a row yet.
Yeah.
Which means the Celtics should win game five, and then the Warriors should win game six, and it's going back out to Golden State. You would think two out of three game series, two of them in Golden State, that makes them a prohibitive favorite, except this series has proven that teams can win on the road. So, yeah, I think we're going seven, and it'll be a great game seven out in San Francisco.
Strike up the duck boats. Okay, what's next?
All right, well, I guess it's only natural that I bring this one up next. Does the name Anna Horford ring a bell for either of you two?
Oh, yeah, that's the sister, right?
Yeah, Al Horford's sister.
Oh,
she's been around before. Obviously had some choice words for the fans of Philadelphia, and if there was any wonder or any doubts that Al Horford was here as a sleeper agent for the Boston Celtics a few years ago, those should all be erased, because Anna Horford pretty much confirmed that their whole family had been rooting for Boston the entire time that they were in Philly, because Philly fans are a bunch of bleepity bleeps.
So, yeah, and by the way, he chose to be here. That was not a trade. He signed here as a free agent. He was terrible. You always hear what a miserable experience it was, but he didn't produce, and she was a pain in the neck when he was here. And Jody, add whatever you like, but Anna Horford's got to go away.
Right, and if you got no use for her, I'm perfectly fine with that. But Al Horford didn't bemoan his time here in Philadelphia. He didn't badmouth Philly as he went out the door. His family might, but he didn't, so I won't hold it against Al Horford
for
foolish statement.
He just played poorly. He just stunk.
Well, I think you and I discussed this on a show we've done together at some point. It was a bad signing. It wasn't his fault. He was given a mega contract, and he came in here, and it didn't fit.
Didn't
it fit. Didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't fit with Embiid.
The fit to begin with was a mistake, and people got too excited. Oh, we're going to have the best defensive team in the NBA. Not necessarily when you got two guys who do the same thing, play around the rim defense.
Please allow me to enjoy my hatred, Jody. Don't take that away from me. All right. One more.
I just think we as sports fans should stop paying attention to the siblings or family members of athletes because they're irrelevant.
Get off Twitter then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
All right. Last thing. You guys have been watching baseball a lot longer than I have. Maybe you guys can make this one make sense. A few days ago, Tony La Russa, the White Sox manager, decided to walk Trey Turner as the count was already 1-2, bringing up Max Muncy to the plate, who then proceeded to hit a 3-run home run.
Yeah.
And La Russa kind of doubled down on it after the game, but even that didn't make sense to me, so maybe you guys can make it make sense.
Made no sense to me, Jody.
Hall of Fame manager makes no sense whatsoever. Sorry, Tony. It just defies all baseball logic.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to walk him, walk him. If you have him 1-2... And La Russa said, well, he's a really good two-strike hitter. Well, I don't know what you want your pitcher to do. I thought it was unfair to the pitcher.
Right.
Anyway.
It makes the pitcher look like an incompetent guy that you have no faith in. We
yes.
had faith that you could get two strikes, but that third strike, oh, you're not good enough to do that.
Exactly.
And, oh, by the way, he's got to come in and pitch for you 2 days later. Good luck with that, Tony.
Well said. All right. Great job, Kyle. Jody, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. We'll be doing the show right up to Philly's Arizona Diamondbacks. I'll see you then, my friend.
I will attempt to get my hair into Jerry curls in honor of Steve Jeltz tomorrow.
Right? Oh.
Don't have a lot to work with, but what little I do, I will try and get Jerry curled.
I'll look forward to seeing that. Stay tuned. Go Birds Radio is coming up with James and Elliot. We will be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Stay tuned right here on 94 WIP.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
McDonald, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. This hour is brought to you by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Let me just give people a little preview of tomorrow, which will be fun. Jody Mack, one of our guests tomorrow is Steve Cheltz. And I don't know about you. I have been having people clamoring to me to get Steve Cheltz on this radio station for years.
Really?
Yeah. So Ray and I did the Tell Us Your Story feature for a while where we would have Philadelphia sports legends.
For a while? You guys did it for years. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah, well, we did 110 of them. And yeah, each one was an hour-long interview, and they were a lot of fun. And always when I would say, like, all right, this week we have, you know, Billy Cunningham. This week we have, you know, whomever. It's like, when are you going to get Steve Cheltz? And I always thought, like, oh, they're just kind of pulling my leg. But there was always, like, an active Steve Cheltz fan club. He was not the greatest player in the history of the franchise, as you remember. But this week marked an anniversary that we're going to honor tomorrow in our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, which was a game against the Pirates. Anthony Sanfilippo referenced it earlier. Phillies are down 10-0 in the first inning at home at the Vet. Jim Rooker, who's the Pirates broadcaster, the color guy, says to the play-by-play guy, hey, if we lose this game, I'm walking home. And I have it. We'll play it tomorrow. Phillies come back and win it 15-11. Steve Cheltz, who didn't start the game, and again, we'll talk to him about this tomorrow, Jody, hits home run left-handed and right-handed.
Right.
And Von Hayes, I think, hits a few. And it ends up being this incredible game. And Jim Rooker, true to his word, he didn't walk home from that game, but he sets up a thing, I guess, when the season ended for charity, where he walked from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. So.
Right.
I checked in with Steve Cheltz the other day. He's very eager to come on and tell his story, and we'll have him on as a guest. And I think what we'll do, Jody, because we have a prize to give away tomorrow, we'll celebrate, and I certainly don't want to criticize Steve Cheltz. Who was your favorite Philadelphia player, I'll put it this way, who was far from being a star?
Can I give you a quick story?
Yeah.
I was doing a collector's memorabilia show here in Philadelphia. Shoot, it's got to be more than 10 years ago now. And I'm talking to the individual who's running it. Thanks for coming out. We broadcast live from there, blah, blah, blah. And he mentions to me that the most requested individual to get for this year in and year out is Tahito Iguchi. And I go, excuse me?
Yeah, I know him.
And he goes, no, Tahito Iguchi is the one that I get the most correspondence on. Can you get him to come? Can you please bring him here? We want to see And I'm going, what the heck are you talking about? He said, Jody, when they won the championship in 2008, mm-hmm. a lot of the guys came back with the team the next year. We're still in baseball, whatever. People want an autographed baseball that includes all the members of the Phillies championship team.
Yeah.
And Tahito Iguchi went back to Japan after that season, so people have a ball that has every single player on it except Tahito Iguchi.
Oh, that's
so
great. That's
I
great.
Just thought it made 100% sense after he told me the story and explained it to me. I had not thought along those lines. Yeah, we're going to have to ask Steve Cheltz if he knows why he's got this fan club here in Philadelphia.
Anyway, so that'll be fun tomorrow. Let's find out from our producer, Kyle Quinn, what did we forget to talk about today?
All right, fellas. So I'm glad I got you both here today because I want to get your thoughts on this. We haven't really had much of a chance to talk about the NBA Finals, guys. So Steph Curry, 43 points last night, evens the Warriors with the Boston Celtics. It's now 2-2. Heading back to the Bay Area, really I just want to know if you guys think Boston's going to get number 18 or if you think this Warriors dynasty is going to roll on.
It has been very back and forth, and some of the games not competitive at all, but an interesting series that doesn't really seem to have a flow to it. It's just every game is different. Jody, I'll let you pick the winner.
I, much to the chagrin of Philadelphia fans, only we talked about this last week, the rivalry isn't what it used to be. I think it's going to be the Celtics because, as we've noted, there has not been a team win two games in a row yet.
Yeah.
Which means the Celtics should win game five, and then the Warriors should win game six, and it's going back out to Golden State. You would think two out of three game series, two of them in Golden State, that makes them a prohibitive favorite. except this series has proven that teams can win on the road. So, yeah, I think we're going seven, and it'll be a great game seven out in San Francisco.
Strike up the duck boats. Okay, what's next?
All right, well, I guess it's only natural that I bring this one up next. Does the name Anna Horford ring a bell for either of you two?
Yeah, that's the sister, right?
Yeah, Al Horford's sister. She's been around before. Obviously had some choice words for the fans of Philadelphia. And if there was any wonder or any doubts that Al Horford was here as a sleeper agent for the Boston Celtics a few years ago, those should all be erased, because Anna Horford pretty much confirmed that their whole family had been rooting for Boston the entire time that they were in Philly, because Philly fans are a bunch of bleepity bleeps.
So, yeah, and by the way, he chose to be here. That was not a trade. He signed here as a free agent. He was terrible. You always hear what a miserable experience it was, but he didn't produce, and she was a pain in the neck when he was here. And Jody, add whatever you like, but Anna Horford's got to go away.
Right, and if you got no use for her, I'm perfectly fine with that. But Al Horford didn't bemoan his time here in Philadelphia. He didn't badmouth Philly as he went out the door. His family might, but he didn't, so I won't hold it against Al Horford
for foolish statement. He just played poorly. He just stunk.
Well, I think you and I discussed this on a show we've done together at some point. It was a bad signing. It wasn't his fault. He was given a mega contract, and he came in here, and it didn't fit.
Didn't
it fit. Didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't fit with Embiid.
The fit to begin with was a mistake, and people got too excited. Oh, we're going to have the best defensive team in the NBA. Not necessarily when you got two guys who do the same thing, play around-the-rim defense.
Please allow me to enjoy my hatred, Jody. You'll take that away from me. All right, one more.
I just think we, as sports fans, should stop paying attention to the siblings or family members of athletes.
Well,
because they're irrelevant.
Get off Twitter, then.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Okay.
All right, last thing. You guys have been watching baseball a lot longer than I have. Maybe you guys can make this one make sense. A few days ago, Tony La Russa, the White Sox manager, decided to walk Trey Turner as the count was already 1-2, bringing up Max Muncy to the plate, who then proceeded to hit a 3-run home run.
Yeah.
And La Russa kind of doubled down on it after the game, but even that didn't make sense to me, so maybe you guys can make it make sense.
Made no sense to me, Jody.
Hall of Fame manager makes no sense whatsoever. Sorry, Tony. It just defies all baseball logic.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to walk him. If you have him 1-2... And La Russa said, well, he's a really good two-strike hitter. Well, I don't know what you want your pitcher to do. I thought it was unfair to the pitcher.
Right.
Anyway.
It makes the pitcher look like an incompetent guy that you have no faith in. We
yes.
had faith that you could get two strikes, but that third strike, oh, you're not good enough to do that.
Exactly.
And, oh, by the way, he's got to come in and pitch for you 2 days later. Good luck with that, Tony.
Well said. All right. Great job, Kyle. Jody, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. We'll be doing the show right up to Philly's Arizona Diamondbacks. I'll see you then, my friend.
I will attempt to get my hair into Jerry Curls in honor of Steve Jeltz tomorrow.
Right? Oh.
Don't have a lot to work with, but what little I do, I will try and get Jerry Curled.
I'll look forward to seeing that. Stay tuned. Go Birds Radio is coming up with James and Elliot. We will be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Stay tuned right here on 94 WIP.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.